Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 393, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O happy land, whose sons in youth, in sturdy strength and noble truth, like plants in vigor spring, whose daughters fair, a queenly race, are like the cornerstones that grace the palace of a king, the palace of a king. 1, 2, and 3 of 393. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, the 9th chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, ye may be ready. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me, and find you unprepared, we, and that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren, that they would go before unto you, and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had notice before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty, and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he proposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all good thing in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whiles by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, and for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and all-sufficient Lord, who has all things at thy disposal, and who would not ask of us if thou wert hungry, for the cattle upon a thousand hills are thine, and before whom that we wait day by day and moment by moment, that we may receive all the necessities of this life which thou hast given unto each and every one of us. Then we also try to draw nigh to thee in this afternoon hour, on this day that we have set aside with our children, and that we may meditate upon thy goodness and all the bountifulness, and that we may receive out of thy hand day by day. Lord, that thou may humble our proud and sinful hearts, and which by nature are lifted up, and with all the efforts that we do put forth day by day in all the labors of our hands, as so that we do say with that a king of old, is not this the great Babylon that I have built? But then he needed to be taught of thee, and he needed to be brought in the dust of self-abasement before thee, in order that he may confess and exclaim that thou art the God of the heavens and of the earth. And then, Lord, we beseech of thee, and that thou may instruct us also in that same lesson, that we may be brought truly to confess what our needs are, and that we may be brought to true humiliation under all of the benefits bestowed on us, and that we may not in that great day of days be cast out of thy sight after all that we have received by thee, because that we had never acknowledged thee aright. Lord, we beseech thee to give us open eyes, to give us open ears, to give us understanding hearts, that we may be instructed not only by all of the callings that do come unto us within our life, but also by the goodness that is bestowed upon us day by day. Oh, that our naturally dead and sinful hearts may be broken by renewal day after day, and that thou may instruct us especially in the bountifulness of thy hand concerning things that are spiritual. Oh, that thy goodness that may lead us to a true repentance, and that we may be drawn to seek those things which are most necessary for our soul, and that the goodness bestowed in bestowing natural food and drink may draw our hearts, and that we may eat and drink of that fountain and of that food which thou givest for the soul. Lord, we beseech thee, remember young and old in this way, for there is none too young to die. And when we have become old, then we must die. And then we must give an account of everything that we have received. Lord, take reasons then out of thyself. And when we must say that there is no reason within us, wilt thou look upon us, each one in all the needs and the cares of our life further. Lord, we ask of thee that thou may remember the farmers further, and when there is still harvest that needs to be brought in, then we are yet dependent upon thee, and that thou may supply and grant what is necessary, and that thou may give prosperity in the midst of us, that all the needs that we have may be cared for, and that we may be enabled also to educate our children in our own school, and that we may be enabled to send forth missionaries to the mission fields, and that we may be enabled to send help unto those that are needy in this world. Lord, supply then in mercy for us and give us to do that which is right in thy holy sight. Wilt thou look then upon the needy in this world? Wilt thou supply for them in the wants of body and of soul together? And look upon those that do suffer also the needs of the mind, the needs of the body, those that suffer from addictions. Wilt thou be with all those that suffer from war, and that suffer from famine, that suffer from many wants, care for each one, and wilt thou give to feel and to experience that thou art not only our Creator, but also the Provider of all things. O, cause men in this world to not reject thee as the Provider for all the benefits in this world. Turn us again in mercy. Lord, go with thy children, for they also have so many needs and wants. And wilt thou cause those needs to be bound upon the hearts of each and every one of us? Oh, that we might feel something of that hunger, even as we can read it in thy holy word of him who did exclaim, as the hart panteth for the brooks of water, so longs my soul after thee, O God. Oh, that this may be the hunger, that this may be the thirst that may dwell in the heart of young and old amongst us, and that the cry may go forth unto thee, and that thou may open the windows of heaven, and that we may that we may not have room to receive this blessing. Oh, do it to us, O Lord. Do it to us and unto our dear children. Wilt thou look upon us then once more in this hour, in this way, that we may be enabled to know how to bring forth thy word, and that thou may sanctify and bless thy word to our souls. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 427, stanzas 4 and 5. In truth, the Lord has sorely chastened, but not to death delivered me. In his paternal love, he hastened to mitigate my misery. And what follows in Psalter 427, stanzas 4 and 5, and there is today one collection for the church fund. Congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour may be found in the portion of God's Word that was read to you in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and thereof the 15th verse. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. So far, the words of our text. Paul's earnest exclamation of gratitude. First, a suitable conclusion. Second, a sweet meditation. And third, a strong motivation. Paul's earnest exclamation of gratitude. First, a suitable conclusion. Second, a sweet meditation. And third, a strong motivation. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. It is, congregation, the last verse of this chapter, 2 Corinthians 9. But even more so, it is at the end of a very particular exhortation of the Apostle Paul. Thus, this is a conclusion. And a conclusion that is a very important thing. Solomon says, better is the end of a thing than its beginning. And very often in a conclusion, then there is a mentioning, there is a speaking of that thing which is the very most important matter. Or we would say when an author, when a writer has built something up and then in the end he comes to its climax. In the conclusion, and then something is very often pointed out to us in particular, what the author was trying to say. In the conclusion, that is just before that we are left to go again, and then the writer will give us something that we will be left with when we are leaving. Solomon speaks about the conclusion of our vain life upon this earth. And what does he say? He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The conclusion of our life. And thanksgiving, that is also a conclusion. It is the conclusion of a season. And as we come to the conclusion of a season, then we will also come to the conclusion of our life. And at a conclusion, then we are brought to meditate what is now the purpose. What is now the purpose that the Lord has created us? What is the purpose that the Lord has redeemed His own church? So what is now the conclusion? What is the conclusion of our life? How may our own life be concluded? What is the conclusion of all our deliberations? What is the conclusion of all of our judgments? What is the conclusion of all of our desires? What is the conclusion of all of our efforts in this world? Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Of what is this a conclusion? When we want to see what this is a conclusion of, then we need to look and to consider what the Apostle Paul is speaking about here in this chapter first. It is his second epistle to the Corinthians. It was written from Macedonia. It was written probably about a year after his first letter. And then he says several things once again to the Corinthians. He tells them why that he has not come as quickly unto them as he had thought, as he had expected, and as he had promised them that he would come. He says, speaks to them about what he had spoken unto them before, and that there was a man that he had said to deliver over unto Satan, that had an incestuous relationship and that had to be disciplined. And then he writes to them this second time and that censer ought to be lifted on that person when he had showed signs of repentance. Then he defends himself also against the false teachers that had come in to this congregation. And then he speaks about giving gifts. We have done that also in this morning. As a fitting word, as something that is proper to do upon Thanksgiving Day. And then the Apostle Paul, he speaks in a special way about the ministering to the saints. Of what does he speak? He speaks about ministering to the saints, the poor saints that were in Jerusalem. And Paul had sent Titus and also some of the other brethren with this epistle, that they may deliver it to the Corinthians. And the Apostle Paul, he is urging upon the Corinthians their gifts of charity. And then we can find, as we read, that the Apostle Paul, that he is speaking with a certain hesitation, as it were, almost as if that he does not wish to speak to them concerning these things, almost making, as it were, an excuse for himself. Why? Because the Apostle Paul's mission in this world, that was not about temporal things. No, the Lord had sent the Apostle Paul into this world that his own kingdom might come. That is, spiritual things. And yet, the apostle from time to time says that it is also necessary and appropriate to speak about the natural things. No, the apostle Paul does not speak for himself. It is just the opposite, because he says that he would burden no one for himself, though he says in the last epistle that he had a right to the natural things, still he says he asks not that those things should be done unto him. But what does he do, though he seems, as it were, even to hesitate? Still he urges them. And how can this be? Because the Apostle Paul, then he speaks for those poor saints which are at Jerusalem. Thus, he is pleading for the sake of others. He is pleading for the welfare and the needs, not only of the poor in this world, but especially for that household of faith. And then when Paul speaks, we find that he speaks very respectfully. Why? Because these that he speaks unto, they will be the benefactors of the poor. And we can read that in God's word, how that the poor ought to show respect and thankfulness unto their benefactors. And therefore, the Apostle Paul, he, as it were, takes the very place of those poor saints, and he speaks in this way unto their benefactors. And then he commends them for their good beginning, because they had begun, he says, already a year ago, when he had spoken unto them, then they had begun immediately this work. And what does he do? And then he commends them and he urges them and that they might finish this work. Why? Because it is not sufficient that we will say to the poor, be warmed and be filled, and we do not give unto them those things that we need, and therefore he commends them. May we do that also for a moment, because when we may see every time again in the bulletin how much may be given by you for all of the causes, the many causes that come from us, come to us, then indeed, then it is a commendable thing. And then not only on behalf of the consistory and on behalf of the poor and behalf of all those causes, but we are also congregation in the National Disaster Committee. And then we have seen, when we have besought you, when we have besought the congregations, we have seen the liberality of your hearts, so that we were able to send almost $500,000 into that poor country of Haiti, even in the difficult times that we may be living. And therefore, then we may do for a moment as that apostle may do to the Corinthians, to commend you for your liberality. Or then he almost apologizes. He almost apologizes for sending Titus to them, just as if it was necessary that he would prevail upon them by sending to them this Titus. No, he says, that is not the reason. No, he says, as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. No, he says, as touching the giving to the poor, I don't need to write to you. But he says why he does it. Because he had boasted about them. He had boasted about them to those of Macedonia. And he said to the Macedonians, look at their zeal. And when he had spoken of what they had done to the Macedonians, then the Macedonians were also provoked, that they also may do as the Corinthians may do. And now he does not wish to be ashamed, and that it would not take place when he would come to them to receive this gift in order to take it unto Jerusalem. He says, if I have now some of Macedonia with me, then I do not wish to be ashamed of my boasting. And not only so, but then he has sent Titus before that that gift may be ready, in order that they may have time, and that he may not come to them, as it were, by surprise, but that they may have the opportunity to gather their gift together. And so he urges them. He urges them to liberality. He speaks about the fields. Or how is it? We know that so very well. Or if we will only spread, children, if we will only take a little bit of seed, if we will pinch, if we will squander, and when we are spreading that seed in the field, then what can we expect for the harvest? But when we will take much of that seed and spread it in the field, then it is possible that we are having such a very rich harvest. And so the Apostle Paul says that he who soweth sparingly, he also shall reap sparingly. Then he says, how that the Lord is able to make their charity to rebound, to redound, even unto their own profit, that they might increase, and that also the Lord is able to make them to be content with all that they have. And then he speaks not only about giving, but he speaks about how that they ought to give. No, then he does not say this and that amount, because not everyone has that same amount to give. But what does he say? Or if first he says there be a willing mind, then it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Thus, not that a man should look, and that he may try to give just as much as his neighbor does give. No, that he must look at how that the Lord has blessed him, and that his mind ought to be ready and willing, that it ought to be free, that it ought to be deliberate, every man according as he proposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And then he says what the fruit is going to be. And what is that fruit going to be? That fruit is going to be thanksgiving. Oh, when those poor in Jerusalem may receive that gift, oh, then they are going to bless God. They are going to bless God for your liberality and for your distribution. So we have it in short, the Holy Word of God, that is very similar to what we had in this morning hour. Thus we see it is one word in the Old Testament, the same word that is in the New Testament for us and for our children. The Word of the Lord, by the mouth of His servant, by the Apostle Paul. And then he concludes. And what does he say? He says, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. That is actually the way of Paul. If we will go from epistle to epistle that the Apostle Paul has written, we will see this many times. Then we'll see that the soul of God's servant that was sometimes so filled with the love of God. Oh, the soul of God's servant, and that was so filled with the love for the church of God, zeal for the cause of God, for the kingdom of God, that he makes a conclusion, and he concludes with thanksgiving unto God, just as if that his heart that could not be satisfied, when his heart was bursting over, that his heart could not be satisfied until it gave glory unto God. See it in the end of Romans. In Romans 7, then he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, see it in Romans 11. Oh, he says, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. See it in 1 Corinthians 15. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see him time and time again. That is now the way of the servant of the Lord. Final conclusion so often of the Apostle Paul as he labored in that service of the Lord and he could come to no other end. What is now the conclusion of the true church of God? all what is going to be the conclusion of that true church of God. When everything is done, and when all this life is past, and all temporal is past, and all the material is past, then it is going to be a conclusion, the same as the Apostle Paul. Then it is going to be a Thanksgiving Day. Therefore, we say, a suitable conclusion. Oh, every admonition is appropriate when it may end in this way, in the glory of God. But it is not only a suitable conclusion, no, it is also a very blessed, it is a very sweet meditation. That is our second thought. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Or we spoke about gifts. God's Word speaks about gifts. And we give gifts unto men, and we owe gifts also unto the Lord. But what now may be compared to the gift of the Lord? Then Paul does not speak about our gifts to God. No, now Paul speaks about God's gifts to us. And what now can be compared to God's gift to man? And why? In the first place, because of who we have become. In the first place, because of our rebellion. Children, when you are naughty, then your father and your mother, they are not in that moment ready to give unto you a gift. Or how is it with man when we have sinned against God? Then we have made ourselves unworthy of the gifts of the Lord. That is now what Jacob felt. Oh, he felt unworthy. And when he has come back according to the commandment of the Lord, and then he stood by that brook again, and then he has looked again over all the blessings that the Lord had given him in those 20 years, and then what could he say? Then he said, Lord, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercy and of all the faithfulness that thou hast shown unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Oh, the gift of God unto man. What a wonder is that gift. Because of our rebellion, because of our sin. But more. Because the greatest of his gifts, they are not natural. But the greatest of his gifts, they are spiritual. Thus, congregation, the bread and the water of God's church, that shall be sure. But that is not the greatest cause of the rejoicing of the church of God. No, there is a much greater cause. If that is the greatest cause of our rejoicing, all the natural gifts, then we remain so poor. Thus we may ask in this day, how is it? Do we remain actually so poor with all of the gifts that we have received in this past season? Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Oh, what greater gift? What greater gift is there in this world? What greater gift has ever been given in this world than the gift of the Son of God? The Lord Jesus said to that Samaritan woman, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink. If thou knewest that gift, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee living waters. But there is so much ignorance of the gift. A man is so carnal that what does that woman say? She says, Lord, give me. Give me this gift. Oh, give me this water that I may drink of that water that I would never thirst again. And that I would never have to come here to draw. Oh, how carnal. Oh, how vain. Oh, how worldly is the natural man. No, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. It is what kind of a gift? It is a divine gift. A gift that is based on an eternal love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, a gift given over against the rebellion that lives in the heart of man. What do we read in the Word of God? For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, a gift, a divine gift based upon that eternal love of God for his church, a gift that is so freely proffered unto men. What do we read? Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price, a gift, a divine gift, and yet a gift that is so widely and so certainly rejected by fallen man because there is no beauty in him that we should desire him. Cannot be otherwise. It will not be otherwise by man who is dead in trespasses and sins. The Lord Jesus says, no man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. But there are people which are drawn. There are those whose money is spent in order that they may receive him as a gift, as that woman who had spent all her living and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, and may but touch that hem of his garment and be made perfectly whole. And now it is to this people that he becomes an unspeakable gift. What does that mean? Unspeakable. That means indescribable. It means that it is something that we are not able to express with words. Human language, that is the way that we communicate. You to me, I unto you. We speak. and we try to make ourselves known to one another. What are the thoughts and the intents of our heart? What are the experiences of our life? But human language that has great limitations. Do you ever experience those? Sometimes you feel it. Better not to speak than to speak. When do we feel it? We feel it when we will go to visit one another. And when we are standing with one another at an open grave, a father, a mother, a son, a daughter. And there we stand. What is there to say? No, then there is nothing to say. Then we try to speak just a few words, but in such moments, then we find how cheap is our human language. Then our words and everything we can conjecture does not measure up to the circumstances that we may be in. Most men will feel something of this, but some are very ignorant. How is it now when it comes to matters of the soul's experience? All the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. And it is expressed in human language. And it is the mercy of the Lord that the Lord gives that that may be expressed also in your language. And in my language. Is that therefore to us a treasure? But now if we read the Bible, how many times in the Bible do we not read how that church tries to strive, as it were, with that human language, that it tries to strive beyond the limits of what that human language can reach in order to express itself in those spiritual matters. Now, we have mentioned that already by the Apostle Paul. What does he say? He says, all the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Oh, the depths. And Paul does not know more how that he can express what those depths are. We read of the bride in the Song of Solomon, and the daughters of Jerusalem, they are coming to that bride. Or they are asking her, what is now thy beloved? What is he to you? More than another beloved. And then she tries to speak of him. And she speaks about his head, and about his eyes, and about his cheeks, and about his hands, and about his legs, and about his feet. And finally, then she finds herself without words. That she does not know anymore how that she is able to express what her soul feels concerning that beloved. And then as she just says, oh, daughters of Jerusalem, he is altogether lovely. When Mephibosheth is bowing before King David, and he comes before that king, and David says to him, Mephibosheth. Behold, he says, thy servant. And what is his expectation? His expectation is death. Because he is the grandson of Saul. And then what does he hear? Oh, he hears, fear not, Mephibosheth, for I will surely show thee kindness. Congregation, how now can Mephibosheth answer him? Oh, what is there for Mephibosheth to say? But words of human language are able now to express what is living in his heart. Oh, what does he say? He says, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Read in Psalm 51, Nathan. Nathan comes to David, and he says to David, thou art the man. And then his sin comes home. Did your sin ever come home to you? Did the Lord ever say to you, thou art the man? And when the Lord says to you, thou art the man, then what do you see? You see, congregation, what you cannot express. And what David tries to express in Psalm 51. And what does he say? It is, read it again. It is just like there are no words to say. And then what does he say? Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. That is his conclusion. Because he does not have words to express that grief that he must experience in his heart. And then that prophet of the Lord may speak. And what may he say? He said, the Lord, he hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. And what may that church then experience? Then they may experience as we read it and as we sing it. Oh, his grace that is wide as the ocean. Because where sin abounded, their grace and much more about. Oh, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Oh, is it possible to find out God? It is higher than heaven, and it is deeper than hell. Oh, they are sweet. They are sweet meditations. Let us sing. 108. One, two, three, six, and seven. I waited for the Lord my God. Yea, patiently drew near. And he at length inclined to me my pleading cry to hear. 1, 2, 3, 6, and 7 of 108. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. We say a strong motivation. Why? To what? Well, it is Paul's conclusion. It is his sweet meditation. It is his strong motivation to the Corinthians in order that those poor saints at Jerusalem may be helped. Because when the heart of God's church that may meditate sweetly on those precious spiritual gifts, then their hands, they go open with their natural gifts, because then we are loosened from this world. And then we are ready to part with this world, and then especially for the sake of that kingdom of God. And when that church may now meditate on the freeness and on the sweetness of that unspeakable gift, oh, then they become ashamed that with their own hands they are so stingy. Because what have we received? What have we that we have not received? And for what purpose have we received? Thus we say, a strong motivation, that their heart of gratitude may cause those poor saints in Jerusalem to rejoice. But that is not all. No, because congregation, if we receive a gift, that means that we have a benefactor. What is a benefactor, children? A benefactor is the one who gives the gift. Thus, if someone gives a gift to you, then you have a benefactor. And now if the world has received an unspeakable gift, then the world, they have an unspeakable benefactor. Oh, how the heart of that world, oh, how the heart of that church, who that world is, how the heart of that church ought to sink away under the goodness, under the graciousness of that benefactor. Oh, therefore it is good to meditate upon those things. Oh, what a prophet. What a prophet of Thanksgiving Day. When that triune God, when that great benefactor, when that unspeakable benefactor may receive the honor. Congregation, if now that unspeakable gift is proclaimed to us, to you, to me, then we have also an unspeakable privilege. Yes, we have many privileges. We have received food and drink and clothing and shelter that has been withheld from so many in this world. And it has been given to us not because of any difference in us. May we be so sure of this. All therefore it behooves us to have Thanksgiving Day. But now the privilege. All that privilege is so much greater on account of these spiritual blessings, on account of the proclamation of that unspeakable gift, because the spiritual is greater than the natural, and the eternal is greater than the temporal. But now, if it is such an unspeakable gift, then what is the rejection of it? Is that not then an unspeakable foolishness? Did we reject all the rest of them in the season that lies behind us? Have we rejected the prosperity? Have we rejected the food and the drink and everything else that has come from His bountiful hand? They were great gifts. They were gifts of comfort. They were gifts of family. They were gifts of community. They were for our enjoyment. They were for our pleasure. Was there place for them? Much. And no place for the unspeakable gift, satisfied with all that is temporal. So it is. So it is by nature, because dead in trespasses and in sins. Oh, when so it remains, do we not bring upon ourselves an unspeakable guilt? Is that now not the greatest offense? Then the Lord will give all the natural gifts and they are received. And that unspeakable gift is rejected. How will that be for us to appear before God in a great judgment day at the end of our life? After we have commemorated so many Thanksgiving days in our life, and we have acknowledged Him, hopefully from our hearts, for all His gifts, or will not every one of those temporal gifts testify against us in that day when we are standing before our judge? And will there not be an unspeakable condemnation that is pronounced against us, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth? Who will be able to describe it? What will now be human language in that day, where that worm dieth not and that fire is not quenched, when every one of those temporal blessings will burn in our conscience? Because we had no desire for this unspeakable gift. And that with all those natural blessings, we have never sought after the giver. And we have never therefore seen any preciousness in His only begotten Son, the Mediator, between God and man. Oh, thanks. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. We say a strong motive, but congregation, will it now be also a strong motive unto us on this Thanksgiving day? Oh, for that true church, that thanksgiving that begins here. But what happens later? Oh, later than that thanksgiving
that is perfected. It is perfected. Will there be a change in language? Or will not language also be perfected for them? So that that heart may be able to express what is now living in their soul forever and forever. Know that church will not be silent. All they shall do, we read, they shall fall down before him that sitteth upon the throne. And they shall worship him that liveth forever and forever. And they shall cast their crowns before his feet, but also their mouth, also their lips that shall go open. And they shall say, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive all glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, words, words, they are so short. They are not able to express. O thanks be to thee. For thy unspeakable gift, Lord, give us to know it in our soul, that we also may experience the unspeakableness of that gift, and that our mouth also may open in an eternal thanksgiving day. Lord, forgive. Forgive all that was sinful in this day. In speaking and in listening, O crown, crown thy word with thy blessing, and dismiss us therewith. Help us. In the rest of this week, each and every one, we lay before thee once more him that must receive surgery. O help him. Bring him through in mercy. Remember us as a consistory. Help us to make decisions for the welfare of this our flock. Remember us in house visitation. Wilt thou help each one in the ways of this life and give that thy word may be the meditation and thought of our heart. For Jesus' sake, amen. 430. Hallelujah. Praise ye God. In his temple shout his laud. Praise him in the wide extent of his spacious firmament. Sing Jehovah's praise uprightly. Praise him for the plenitude of his boundless magnitude. Praise him for his deeds so mighty. All stanzas, 430.
Away.
Blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.